بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله من ولا وبعد. Okay, today this is our session number 7. Reading from lessons in Arabic language, Medina Book 3, Arabic Language Institute, Islamic University of Medina, Dr. Fahd Abdul Rahim. So today it is our intent, by the permission of Allah, to take a new lesson, lesson number 3. And we're going to try to go through the 9 points from the English key as well as the Arabic text at the beginning of the lesson on page 28, 29, 30, and the top of 31. And the first, first exercise, comprehension exercise number 1. So, we're going to start with the English key. And before we read the English key, I just want to mention that this is a new lesson. And it may seem like an overwhelming amount of information that's contained in this new lesson. However, some of these points are actually things that we have seen in the past, at least introduction to them. And some of them are just notes related to some expressions that came in the Arabic text or the dialogue for this lesson. And some of them are minor points that don't really take a lot of time and won't require much to understand or to remember what they contain. So the main point in each lesson is usually the first point, and maybe the first and second point. But usually the first point is the main point, and that is what we want to make sure that we understand well. And the other points are... We shouldn't take a lot of time with them. In this particular case, I think, we'll just concentrate on the first point, and the other points, inshallah, we'll see that they are not really that involved, not really that complex or that difficult. So let's get started with this new lesson. We're going to start with the English key starting on page 19. So the English key actually goes for a few pages. 19, 20, 21, and 22, and there are 9 points. And like I said, and some of them are things that we've seen before. At least we've been introduced to them. So we'll find that it's not going to be that difficult. The first point of this lesson, if we look on page 19, lesson 3, in this lesson we learn the following. Number 1, the passive voice. الفعل المبني للمجهول. So there are 2 things here that we want to pay attention to, okay? In this lesson, we're going to look at the passive voice. So the opposite of the passive voice is the active voice. We've already seen the active voice. The normal jumla fi'liya with the fi'l fa'al and maf'ulun bi is what is going to be referred to as the fi'l al-mabni lil-ma'loom. And what we're going to be learning in this lesson is al-fi'l al-mabni lil-majhool. So there are 2 things here, the active voice and the passive voice. The active voice is what we already know. We may not have seen the expression al-mabni lil-ma'loom, but we are familiar with the active voice. That means that the fa'il, the doer of the action of the verb, is mentioned. So what we're going to be looking at in this lesson is al-mabni lil-majhool, and that means that the fa'il, the subject doer of the action, is not mentioned. Now, literally, al-fi'l al-mabni lil-ma'loom means the verb that has been built, structured for the fa'il that is ma'loom, is known. The fa'il is known. That's the literal meaning of it. And so the opposite of it is al-fi'l al-mabni lil-majhool, the verb that is built or structured for the file that is unknown. Okay, so we have the file that is ma'lum, known, and the file that is majhul, unknown. That's the literal meaning of al-ma'lum, known. And the literal meaning of majhul is unknown. But actually, what is intended here by ma'lum is the fi'l. It's known because it's mentioned in the sentence. The fi'l is mentioned in the sentence. And what is intended by majhul is the file is unknown. Doesn't mean it's unknown. It means that it's not mentioned. It could be known, but it's not mentioned. Okay, so really what we're looking at here is, we're looking at a sentence in which the file, the doer of the action, is mentioned. And in this lesson, we're going to be looking at the sentence in which the file, the doer of the action, is not mentioned. So that's basically the summary of the subject. Yani, a verb that's structured, yani the way it's composed, its voweling is structured in a way to indicate that it's going to be used in a sentence where the file is going to be mentioned, known, ma'alum. And the other type of verb is the one that's structured, its voweling is structured to indicate that the file, the doer of the action of this sentence, is not going to be mentioned. It's going to be unknown. Or not really unknown again, but not mentioned. Alright? So let's read what they're saying here. Yani the structure of the verb when it is intended to be used with the file that's mentioned, it has voweling in a certain way that we are used to now. And we're going to see when the verb is restructured, yani the voweling is changed to indicate that the file is not mentioned, the voweling is going to be changed in a different way. Okay, so there's a particular way the voweling is going to come. When it is for, yani, the case where the file, the subject do of the action is not mentioned. That's called the passive voice. Okay, so we're not so concerned about the active voice and the passive voice, these expressions, but rather we are more concerned about al-mabni lil-ma'alum, yani, the file is known, is mentioned. And al-mabni lil-majhul. The file is not mentioned, is unknown, not mentioned. That's what we're concerned about. This, yani these expressions. Mabni lil-ma'lum, known. Mabni lil-majhul, unknown. Or what is intended by known is mentioned. And what is intended by unknown, not mentioned. So we have a sentence where the file is going to be mentioned. You're going to have a fi'l, fa'il, and maf'ulun bi. And another sentence, you're going to have a fi'l with no file. But the maf'ulun bi is still going to be there, except that it's going to take the place of the file. And therefore, it's going to change its name from maf'ulun bi to na'ib fa'il, substitute for the file. And its i'rab is going to change from being maf'ulun bi mansub to na'ib fa'il marfu'un. Alright, so if you didn't understand this completely, inshallah, I'm going to read from the English key now, and hopefully, yani, it will become crystal clear. Okay, so the explanation of this particular topic is 2 pages long. Yani, the whole page 19 and almost the whole page of 20. So there are several points, but the most important point is understanding the expression. Yani, mabni lil ma'alum, the verb is structured for a sentence in which the fa'il is going to be mentioned. And mabni lil majhul, unknown, meaning the verb is structured for a sentence in which the fa'il is not going to be mentioned. So in the mabni lil ma'lum, we're going to see the fa'il and the fa'il and the maf'ulun bi. And the mabni lil majhul, we're going to see the fa'il and we're going to see the maf'ulun bi sliding into the place of the fa'il, changing its name from maf'ulun bi to na'ib fa'il, and changing its i'rab from being mansub with fatah to being marfu'un with dhamma. Let's read. Page 19, top of the page, lesson 3. In this lesson, we learn the following. Number 1, the passive voice. Al-fi'lu al-mabaniyu lil-majhuli. The verb that is fixed, built or structured for the unknown, majhul. Unknown meaning the fa'il is not going to be mentioned in this sentence. The fa'il is removed. Here's an example of the passive voice in English. Okay, actually, the original sentence is not the passive voice, it's the active voice. The original sentence they're giving us here. The soldier killed the spy. Okay, so this is the active voice because the fa'il, the one who did the killing, the soldier, is mentioned. So that's the active voice, or mabni lil ma'alum. The fa'il is mentioned. But we want to see, so how do we change that to the mabni lil majhul where the fa'il is not mentioned? So the original sentence, the fa'il is mentioned. The new sentence, the fa'il is not mentioned. In the original sentence, the fa'il is mentioned. The soldier, that's the fa'il, killed the spy. So the soldier is the fa'il. The fa'il is killed. The maf'ulun bi is the spy. The soldier killed the spy. Now, if we take out the fa'il, the one who did the killing, and just mention the action and the one that was killed, then we would say the spy was killed, without mentioning who killed him. Okay, that's what we mean by mabniun lil majhul, yani where the fa'il, the one who did the killing, is not mentioned. The spy was killed. The original sentence, the soldier killed the spy. In this sentence, the spy was killed without mentioning who killed him. So in the passive voice, the mabniun lil majhul, in the passive voice, the subject is omitted. Yani the fa'il, the doer of the action, is not mentioned. And the object, the maf'ulun bi, takes the place of the subject. The maf'ulun bi takes the place of the fa'il. Let us see how to express the same idea in Arabic. Okay, in the fi'l al-mabni lil-ma'lum, active voice, qatala al-jundiyu al-jasusa. Qatala is the fi'l, al-jundi is the fa'il, the subject doer of the action, and al-jasusa is the maf'ulun bi, the object of the verb. The object of the verb, al-jasus, is the maf'ulun bi. So you have fi'l, you have fa'il, marfu'un, and you have maf'ulun bi, mansub. Fi'l, qatala. Fa'il, al-jundiyu, maf'ulun bi, al-jasusa. In the passive voice, mabni al-majhul, the fa'il is not going to be mentioned, just the action and the one that the action occurred to. But in this case, when the fa'il is taken out, the maf'ulun bi moves into the place of the fa'il and changes its ruling from being mansub al-jasusa to being marfun al-jasusu. So here we say, qutila al-jasusu, qutila al-jasusu. Note that in the passive voice, the fa'il al-jundi, the soldier who did the killing, has been omitted. And the maf'ulun bihi, the object of the action, the one that was killed, has taken its place and has become marfu'un. It is now called na'ibu al-fa'ili. Na'ib means the substitute, the one who takes the place of, or the thing that takes the place of something else. So here the fa'il is taken out, and the maf'ulun bihi slides into his place, now became known as substitute for the fa'il, na'ib al-fa'il, and also takes its ruling, it became marfu'un with dhamma. So this is the core of the matter here. Yani, the simple sentence with a fi'l, fa'il and maf'ulun bi, becomes a sentence with just a fi'l and a maf'ulun bi. But the maf'ulun bi no longer is called maf'ulun bi, now it's called na'ib fa'il. The fa'il is taken out, the maf'ulun bi takes its place, it becomes its substitute. Also notice the structure of the verb. In the original sentence, qatal al-jundi, you have fatha, fatha, fatha. In the new sentence, you have dhamma, kasra, fatha. So in the past tense, mabni lil-majhul, the passive voice, the voweling changes. The first letter takes dhamma, and the next to the last letter takes kasra. So it became dhamma, kasra. So qatala became qutila. Dharaba would be duriba. Dhamma, kasra. Kasra, kusira. Dhamma, kasra. In the past tense, the vowel changes to dhamma, kasra. Alright? The maf'ulun bi now comes in for this new structured verb that is structured mabniun lil majhul. It's structured for a sentence in which the fa'il is not going to be mentioned. The voweling changes here to indicate that this verb now, with its new structure, is going to be used in a sentence where the fa'il is not mentioned, and where the maf'ulun bi now takes the place of the fa'il and takes this ruling of being marfu'un. Alright? So, first sentence, قَتَلَ الْجُنْدِيُّ الْجَاسُوسَ فِعْل فَعْل مَرْفُوعٌ with ضَمَّ مَفْعُولٌ بِهِ مَنْصُوبٌ بِالْفَتْحَةِ. The new sentence, قُتِلَ ضَمَّ كَسْرَ قُتِلَ الْجَاسُوسُ. قُتِلَ is the فِعْل, الْجَاسُوسُ is the نَائِب الْفَاعِلِ. نَائِب الْفَاعِلِ, substitute for the فَعْل. It was originally the مَفْعُولٌ بِهِ, it was مَنْصُوبٌ بِالْفَتْحَةِ, now it became the نَائِب فَاعِل مَرْفُوعٌ with ضَمَّ. Okay, that's what we need to understand. Now we're going to look at it, yani look at some other points. That the next point is not really so critical for us, but it's just yani a matter that we should understand the difference between English and Arabic. In English, we may say the spy was killed without mentioning who killed him. Or we may also say the spy was killed by the soldier. So we're saying the spy was killed, but then we're also mentioning who killed him. The spy was killed by the soldier. This construction, the second way, the spy was killed, and then mentioning who killed him by the soldier, is not possible in Arabic. Yani you either have the active voice or you have the passive voice. You don't have a mixture of the two. You can't say the soldier killed the spy, and then say the spy was killed by the soldier. In English, you can say it both ways. In Arabic, you can either say, you can mention the fa'il, the soldier killed the spy, or you cannot mention the fa'il, the spy was killed, without mentioning the fa'il. You can't have it both ways in Arabic. So the original verb, now that's for difference between English and Arabic. Now we're looking at the structure of the verb, the voweling change when it's used in the sentence where the fa'il is not going to be mentioned. The original verb undergoes certain changes when it is converted to passive voice. Passive voice meaning what? مَبْنِيٌ لِلْمَجْهُولِ. In the ماضي, the first radical takes ضَمَّ and the second takes كَسْرَ. In the past tense, the voweling is going to be ضَمَّ كَسْرَ. In the مُضَارِ, the letter of مُضَارَعَ, and there's a footnote here, it says the letters حَمْزَ, Ta, Ya, and Noon, which are prefixed to the Mudari, as in Aktubu, Taktubu, Yaktubu, and Naktubu, are called letters of Mudara, Huruf al Mudara. These have been combined to form the word Atayna. They came. Yani feminine plural, third person, feminine plural. They came. Atayna. In any case, these four letters are prefixed to the Mudari. We learned this in Book 2. When we studied the mudari verb, we said the mudari verb has one of these four letters prefixed to it, yani in the beginning of it, added to the beginning of it, yani. So we say aktubu, taktubu, yaktubu, naktubu. One of these letters are going to be added to the verb for the mudari. These four letters are referred to as huruf al-mudara'a. And here he said, in the ماضي, the first radical has dhamma and the second has kasra. In the مُضَارِ, the letters of مُضَارَعَ, yani that letter that's prefixed to the beginning of the مُضَارِ verb, that letter is going to take dhamma and the second radical, the second root letter. The first root letter is going to take sukoon, but the second root letter is going to take fatha. So in the مُضَارِ, it's going to be dhamma, sukoon, fatha. But the two vowels that's going to change here is going to be dhamma and fatha. In the past tense, it's Dhamma and Kasra. In the present tense, it's Dhamma and Fatha. Alright, so the Mudara'a letter that's prefixed to the Mudari verb is going to take Dhamma. The first radical of the Mudari verb is going to take Sukoon. And the second radical is going to take Fatha. Past tense, you have Dhamma Kasra. Present tense, you have Dhamma Fatha. Alright, so let's read that again. The original verb undergoes certain changes when it is converted to passive voice, مَبْنِي لِلْمَجْهُولِ. In the ماضي, past tense, the first radical takes Dhamma and the second has Kasra. In the مُضَارِ, the letter of مُضَارِعَ, the prefixed letter, has Dhamma and the second radical has Fatha. So let's look at examples of the past tense. Qatala, he killed, changes to Dhamma Kasra. Qutila, he was killed. If the second radical originally has Kasra, yani in the past tense, if it originally already had Kasra, it remains as Kasra. For example, Shariba, it already has Kasra on the second radical, the next to the last letter. It already has Kasra, so it just remains Kasra. The first radical takes Dhamma. What is important here is in the past tense, it's going to be Dhamma Kasra. If it already had a Kasra, no problem, it remains Kasra. Dhamma Kasra. So Shariba means he drank. Shuriba, Dhamma Kasra, means it, something, it was drunk. Samia, in the past tense, it already had Kasra on the second radical, so it remains, but it changes to Dhamma Kasra. Samia, he heard. Sumia, he or it was heard. He or it was heard. Before we go to the Mudari, let's just look at some more examples, yani of things, that verbs that we think of commonly. Kataba, if we changed it to the passive voice, Mabni lil Majhul, Kataba becomes Dhamma Kasra, Kutiba. Kutiba. Daraba becomes Duriba. Duriba. Hafiza, to memorize or to protect or preserve, Hafiza becomes Hufiza. Dhamma Kasra. Qara'a, to read, qara'a becomes quri'a, dhamma kasra. Okay, so I hope that is clear. In the past tense, you just simply change the voweling to dhamma kasra. First radical taking dhamma, second radical taking kasra. Now let's look at the mudari. In the mudari, the example they gave us is from qatala yaqtulu. Yaqtulu means he kills, he is killing, he does kill. The voweling in the mudari is going to change to dhamma fatha. Okay, yaqtulu, the first radical qaf, yani the first radical is the radical after the prefix letter. The ya, the ta, the noon, and the aleph is added to the verb, but the original root is qaf ta lam. So the first radical is the qaf. In the mudari, it has sukoon. It's going to remain as sukoon. But the voweling is going to change, is the mudara'a letter, the ya, and the second radical in this case is ta. The mudara'a letter is going to take dhamma instead of fatha, and the second radical, the ta, is going to change to, from dhamma to fatha. So, the first radical is going to remain sukoon. What's going to change is the mudara'a letter and the second radical. It changes from fatha, dhamma, to dhamma fatha. Whatever its vowels were, it's going to change to Dhamma Fatha. Dhamma Sukun Fatha. So, Yaqtulu, he kills, became Yuqtalu, he is killed. He is killed. If the second radical originally had Fatha already, then when you change it to Dhamma Fatha, if the second radical, even originally before it was changed, already had Fatha, no problem, it remains Fatha. But the voweling has to be in the Mabniyun lil Majhul passive voice, it has to be Dhamma Fatha. Dhamma Sukun Fatha. So, for example, if it already had a Fatha, as in Fataha Yaftahu, Yaftahu, the second radical, the Ta, already had Fatha, then all you have to do is change the first letter, the Mudari'a letter, to Dhamma. So it became Yuftahu. So, Yaftahu, he opens. Yuftahu, it is opened. It is opened. Yaqra'u from qara'a, yaqra'u, it already has fatha in the second radical, so it remains fatha in the first letter, the mudari'a letter changes to dhamma. So it can be dhamma fatha. In the past tense, it's dhamma kasra. In the present tense, it's dhamma fatha. So in both cases, the mabni lil majhul is going to change. The first letter is going to be dhamma. In the past tense, the second letter is going to be kasra, and in the mudari it's going to be fatha. Dhamma kasra, dhamma fatha. So if the second radical originally has fatha, it remains fatha. Yaftahu, he opens. Yuftahu, it is opened. Yaqra'u, he reads. Yuqra'u, it is read. Okay, let's turn the page 20. You know that if wow, here's another rule that's in reference to the verb that begins with waw. Yani the mithal verb, if it begins with wow. We learned in book 2, in lesson 26, I think, the mu'tal verbs begin with 26, 27, and 28. Yeah. In lesson 26, the mu'tal alfa, yani the mithal verb that begins with wow, we know that if wow is the first radical, it is omitted in the mudari. So this is mentioned in book 2, lesson 26. It is restored, that wow is restored in the passive voice. So, for example, wajada means he found. In the mudari, we change it to, without the wow, yajidu. It should have been yawjidu, but instead we change it to yajidu. When you have the passive voice, the wow comes back, and it becomes yujadu. And in other words, it's still dhamma, fatha, but the wow comes back in the passive voice. In the active voice, the wow is omitted in the mudari. For the verb that begins with wow, a mithal verb that begins with wow, in the mudari, in the normal verb, mabniyun lil ma'alum, active voice, in the mudari we lose the wow, but in the passive voice, the wow comes back. So wajada, yani, in the passive voice, it will be wujida, yani dhamma kasra, wujida. And in the mudari, it will be yujadu, yujadu. Yajidu, he finds something. Yujadu, he or it is found. From walada, yelidu, yelidu, he bears a child. Yuladu, he is born. Yani he was given birth to. Passive. He didn't do anything, rather he was born. Here are some more examples of the passive voice. Okay, so before we go into the more examples of the passive voice, I just want to make sure that this point here is clear to everybody, and that is, there's a special rule for the mithal verb with wow. When it begins with wow, we learned in book 2 that in the mudari you lose that wow, but in the passive voice, the mudari, the wow comes back again. That's the point. The wow comes back again. But it still has the same structure, mabniyun lil majhul. That is, it takes dhamma and fatha. Dhamma, sukun, fatha. So just like the other verbs, yani, when we change them to mabniyun lil majhul, we get dhamma fatha. So you say yuftahu. You say yukra'u. And you say yujadu. Dhamma fatha, the first radical taking sukun. Okay, here are some more examples of the passive voice. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ طِينٍ. Man was created from clay. خُلِقَ, yani the original verb is خَلَقَ. But here when we make it مَبْنِي لِلْمَجْهُولِ, we change the vowel in the past tense to ضَمَّ كَسْرَ خُلِقَ. And here, al-insan, which was originally would have been the maf'ul in b, it becomes, when the fa'il is taken out, it becomes the naib fa'il, and it takes its ruling and becomes marfu'un dhamma. So the original sentence, yani, would have been what? Man was created from clay. The original sentence would have been, Allah created man from clay. Yani, Allah created. So you have a fa'il, fa'il and maf'ul in b, so you have خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْإِنسَانَ. خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْإِنسَانَ. خَلَقَ, if we take out the fa'il, and insana, which was the maf'ul bi, takes its place, we have خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ. And you change the structure of the verb to dhamma kasra, take out the fa'il, and put the maf'ul bi in the place of the fa'il, known as now as the na'ib al-fa'ili, and therefore it takes the ruling of na'ib fa'il, that is marfu'un with dhamma. So, khalaqa Allahu al-insana becomes khuliqa al-insanu. The next example, fi ayyi amin wulidta. Fi ayyi amin wulidta. In which year were you born? So, the word that we're concerned about here is what? Wulidta. Yani wulidta, yani we see it change from what? It changes in the past tense to dhamma kasra. Wuli. Wulida, yani with ta, wulidta. Naam. The next example, يُقْتَلُ آلَافٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ فِي الْحُرُوبِ. Thousands of people, آلَافٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Thousands of the people, يُقْتَلُ, are killed, فِي الْحُرُوبِ, in wars. Here we want to note that, يعني thousands of people, آلَافٌ, يعني آلَافٌ is the نائب فاعل. Because the original sentence would have been what? Somebody killed thousands of people. So alaf would have been the mafulun bi. But here, because whoever did the killing is not mentioned, so it's mabniun lil majhul. So here we have the verb changing its form to dhamma fatha. The fa'il is removed, and the mafulun bi alafun now becomes na'ib fa'il marfun with dhamma. آلاف من الناس في الحروب يعني يقتل from قتل يقتل يقتل مبني للمجهول became يقتل ضمة سكون فتحة. نعم. The next example, لا يلدغ المؤمن من جهر واحد مرتين. A believer is not bitten or stung, is not bitten by a snake from the same hole twice. That is, does not repeat the same mistake. Yani what is intended is, a believer does not repeat the same mistake. The believer is not bitten by a snake from the same hole twice. That's the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لا يلدغ المؤمن من جهر واحد, from one hole or the same hole, مرتين, twice. يعني يلدغ is from the verb to be bitten or to be stung, bitten by a snake or stung by a scorpion. So here the verb changed to the مبني للمجهول, right, ضم فتحة in the مضارع, it takes ضم سكون فتحة. يلدغ المؤمن, يعني originally the مؤمن is the one who is stung, right? So it was the maful and be in the original sentence, now it became naib fa'il marfoon with dhamma. La yuldagu al mu'minu. The believer is not bitten, any by a snake or a scorpion from the same hole twice. Of course, the one who did the biting is not mentioned here. That's just in parenthesis to make you understand the sentence. He is not bitten, any by a snake or a scorpion from the same hole twice. Yuldagu is a fi'l mudari. Yani when it's mabni lil majhul, passive voice, it takes dhamma sukun fatha. In the past tense, it takes dhamma kasra, present tense dhamma fatha. Another example, la yujadu hadha alkitabu fil maktabat. This book is not found in the bookshops. La yujadu, it is not found. What is not found? Hadha alkitabu, this book, fil maktabati, in the bookshops, bookstores. Again, this verb is from wajada, yajidu. In the mudari, it's yajidu, but in the mabni al-majhul, yujadu. The waw comes back. Yajidu is lost in the mudari when it's active voice. But when you change it to the passive voice, the waw comes back. It became dhamma, sukun, fatha, yujadu. From wajada, yujadu. And hadha, in this sentence, is the naib fa'il. And kitab is the, what? The badal. Yani when the ism ishara is followed by a noun with alif lam, means that it is badal. So it takes the same ruling as the mubdal minhu. So hadha being the naib fa'il, it's in the place where it should be marfu'un, and therefore al kitab, the badal, yani has to have the same ruling of being marfu'un with dhamma. This book is not found in the bookshops. The next example, لم يلد ولم يولد. He neither begat nor was he begotten. This is from the Quran, 112th Surah, 3rd Ayat. لم يلد ولم يولد. يولد is the word that we want to look at here. It's from ولد يلد, but in the passive voice it became ضم سكون فتح يولد. From ولد originally, the waw is in the past tense. In the mudari, active voice, the waw is lost. From walada yelidu, yelidu. But then, Yani, in the passive voice, the waw comes back when it's mabniun lil majhul yulad. Here, the dhamma on the end is yani changed to sukoon because it's majzoom by lam. And the same thing with yalid, yani yalidu, yani it loses the dhamma because it's majzoom because of lam. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. Okay, another point here that we're going to note, if the fa'il, if the na'ib fa'il is feminine, the verb should also be feminine. And if the na'ib fa'il is feminine, the verb should reflect that and should be feminine. So for example, what was Amina asked about? What did somebody ask her about? So the question, Amma, about what? Su'ilat, she was asked. Who Amina to? About what was Amina asked? Okay, here, so since, yani the naib fa'il, Amina, the one who in the original sentence was asked, she was the maf'ulun bi, but here, if the one who is doing the asking is not mentioned, the fa'il goes out, then the verb voweling structure is changed to dhamma sukun fatha, and then the what was the maf'ulun bi now becomes naib fa'il, and it becomes marfu'un with dhamma. But since the naib fa'il is feminine, then the verb also has to be feminine. So you say su'ilat. Yani the masculine form would be su'ila. He was asked. The feminine form, su'ilat. She was asked with the ta, at ta'anif. The ta that indicates that it's feminine. The distinction between kataba and katabat. Huwa kataba, hiya katabat. Yani huwa su'ila, he was asked, hiya su'ilat. That ta with sukun is the sign of femininity to distinguish the third person masculine past tense form from the feminine past tense form. Amma su'ilat. About what was she asked? Also, we should note here that amma is a combination of an plus the particle istifhama. Ma, yani, that is for asking a question about what, yani, an plus ma, when you join them together, became amma. Yani, whenever a preposition is added to ma, then the aleph of it is omitted. Naam. Taib, amma su'ilat aminatu, what was Amina asked about, or literally about what was she, that is Amina, asked. The next example they gave us, which is an example of the naib fa'il being feminine, is Surah Al-Fatiha is read. It is read. Without mentioning who read it, it is read in every rak'ah. Tukra'u Surah Al-Fatihati fi kulli rak'atin. Tukra'u Surah Al-Fatihati fi kulli rak'atin. Okay, so Suratu is the naib fa'il. Fatihati is mudhafun ilayhi majrur with kasra. But the naib fa'il here is suratu. Originally it would have been the maf'ulun bi mansub with fatha. Now when the one who did the reading is taken out, the fa'il is taken out, so the maf'ulun bi becomes naib fa'il and it takes his ruling of being marfu'un with dhamma. Since surah is feminine, the verb has to be feminine. Instead of saying yukra'u, we said tukra'u, because the naib fa'il is feminine. So that's a rule that we have to pay attention to, that when the verb is changed from the active to the passive voice, and the voweling changes to dhamma, kasra in the past tense, dhamma fatha in the present tense, we have to pay attention that the verb also has to be changed to feminine, if the naib fa'il is feminine. Yani in the original sentence, the fa'il could have been masculine. But now, when the fa'il is taken out, and the naib fa'il takes its place, if the naib fa'il is feminine, then the verb has to change, not only in its voweling to dhamma fatha, but it also has to change to, yani from yukra to tukra, feminine. The next point, subsidiary point, is if the maf'ulun bi is a pronoun, its corresponding raf, marfu'un form is used, as explained in example or exercise 7 of the main book. Yani in exercise 7, when we get to the exercises for this, and that we won't be doing that this week, exercise 7. But when we get to exercise 7, in the main part of the book, in the Arabic part. We're reading the English key right now, and we get to exercise 7 in the main part of the book. Then we'll see there that if the maf'ulun bi, as it says here, if the maf'ulun bi is a pronoun, its corresponding raf or marfu'un form is used, as explained in exercise 7 in the main book. So we'll get to exercise 7, not today, but in the homework for this week. We'll be doing yani the first part of the exercises, which inshallah probably will include exercise number 7. We'll see that if the maf'ulun bi is a pronoun, when the fa'il is taken out and the maf'ulun bi becomes the na'ib fa'il, as the na'ib fa'il, yani it has to be in the position where it is marfu'un. So we're going to use the raf form. We say fi mahalli raf. We can use the marfu'un form of the pronoun as opposed to the mansub form of the pronoun. Because as the maf'ulun bi, the pronoun is in the place where it should be mansub. But when it becomes na'ib fa'il, it's in the place where it should be marfu'un. So now we have to use a different type of pronoun. There's a pronoun for mahalli nasb, maf'ulun bi, and there's a pronoun for fi mahalli raf, yani as na'ib fa'il. So we'll come to that in exercise number 7, but the point here is that we're going to see in detail with some exercises the difference between the raf pronoun and the nasb pronoun. We're going to see the difference between them when we reach exercise number 7 in the homework for this coming week, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Okay, so what did they say? If the maf'ulun bi is a pronoun, its corresponding raf form is used as explained in exercise number 7 in the main book. For example, قَتَلَهُمْ الْمُجْرِمُونَ قَتَلَهُمْ الْمُجْرِمُونَ. The mujrimun, the criminals, قَتَلَهُمْ, killed them. Here in this sentence, right, قَتَلَ is the fi'l, هُمْ is the maf'ulun bi, and الْمُجْرِمُونَ is the fa'il. الْمُجْرِمُونَ is the fa'il marfu'un. Sign that is marfu'un is waw. That's a secondary sign for the jam mudhakkar salam. Sound, masculine, plural, has the sign of it being marfu'un is waw, right? So, قَتَلَ is the fi'l, الْمُجْرِمُونَ is the fa'il, those who did the killing, and هُمْ is the maf'ulun bi. So as the maf'ulun bi, the form of the pronoun has to be the mansub or nasb form of the pronoun, hum. But when we change the sentence to the passive voice and the mujrimun, the fa'il, is taken out, now the maf'ulun bi, hum, which is in the place where it should be mansub, becomes the na'ib fa'il. And it's in the place where it should be marfu'un. So the form of the pronoun changed from hum to waw, waw al-jama'ah. So when we change the voweling of the verb from qatala to qutila, the fa'il being removed is replaced by the maf'ulun bi. So the pronoun hum, now we're using the raf form that is waw, waw al-jama'ah. So instead of hum, we have waw here. That waw is the pronoun that represents here the na'ib fa'il. The na'ib fa'il has to be the same ruling as the fa'il. And since it's a pronoun, it's mabniun, so we don't say it's marfu'un, but we say it's in the place where it should be marfu'un, fi mahalli raf. That's why they say corresponding raf form. Qatalahum, qatala is the fa'il, al-mujrimun is the fa'il, hum is the maf'ulun bi. It's in the place where it should be mansub. When it becomes na'ib fa'il, qutilu, the waw is the na'ib fa'il, it is now in the place where it should be marfu'un, so we have to use a different pronoun. We're using waw here instead of hum. And both of them represent the same thing. They represent the third person, masculine plural. Qutilu. But the structure of the verb is changed from what? To dhamma kasra. Dhamma kasra. They were killed. The criminals killed them, and now the criminals is taken out the fa'il. They were killed. Qutilu. Let's see another example of this, and this would be the end of this topic. Sa'alani al-mudiru. The headmaster asked me. The principal asked me. Okay, in this sentence, the fa'il is asking, The fi'l is asking. The fa'il, who is doing the asking? The headmaster, al-mudir. And who was being asked? Me. That is ya al-mutakallam. That's separated from the verb by noon, al-wiqaya. Sa'ala is the fi'l. Ya al-mutakallam is the maf'ulun bi. And the noon in between them is noon al-wiqaya. And al-mudiru is the fa'il. So sa'ala is the fi'l. Al-mudiru is the fa'il marfu'un with dhamma. And e connected to the noon, ni, the e here, ya al-mutakallam, is the maf'ulun bi. So this is the nasb form of the pronoun. Yani, as the maf'ulun bi, it's a pronoun, it's mabniyun, but it's in the place where it should be mansub. Now once we remove the fa'il al-mudiru, and we change the structure of the verb to the passive voice, mabni lil-majhul, to dhamma kasra, also the pronoun which was the maf'ulun bi, ya al-mutakallam, that's the nasb form as the maf'ulun bi, now we have to change it to the raf form as na'ib fa'il. So the raf form of first person singular is tu. So change the verb to dhamma kasra, su'ila, and then add to su'iltu. Su'iltu. I was asked. Su'iltu. I was asked. Okay, we're going to see a lot of exercises with this. Yani with the pronoun being the maf'ulun bi. So when we change the sentence to the passive voice, mabniyun lil majhul, we're going to see the pronoun changing from hum to waw al jama'ah, from ya al mutakallam to tu, and so on. We're going to see the pronoun being changed. Yani, from the nasb form to the raf form, because originally it is the maf'ulun bi, it should be in the place where it's mansub. Now it became na'ib fa'il, it should be in the place where it is marfu'un. Okay, so this is the end of the first point, and this is the core of this lesson. And there's a lot of information here, but again, as I mentioned in the beginning before we started reading the English key, what is important to retain related to this point is two things. The verb can be active or passive. For the active, we mean mabniun lil ma'alum. Ma'alum. Literally, it means known. What we intend here is mean the fa'il is mentioned. The other form of the verb is the passive form in Arabic, al mabni lil majhul. Majhul literally means unknown. But what is intended here is unmentioned. So in one form, in the original form, mabni lil majhul, the fa'il is mentioned. In the mabni lil majhul, the fa'il is not mentioned. So when the fa'il is removed, the verb changes its form in voweling to dhamma kasra in the past tense, dhamma fatha in the present tense, and the maf'ulun bi now comes into the place of the fa'il that was removed. It takes its ruling of being marfu'un with dhamma, if it's a clear noun. As the primary sign of a being, marfu'un, it takes dhamma. Okay, so that's what we kind of get our heads, yani, to be clear on. Yani, when the sentence changes from the active to the passive, the verb changes its structure. Now it is restructured to mabniun lil majhul, its vowel changes in the past tense to dhamma kasra, in the present tense, dhamma fatha. And then the fa'il is taken out, and in its place is the maf'ulun bi. Maf'ulun bi now is na'ib fa'il, it's no longer mansub with fatha, now it's marfu'un with dhamma. That's pretty much it. I mean, that's the core of what you need to know in this lesson. As far as secondary points, we should also remember, if the na'ib fa'il is feminine, even though the original fa'il may have been masculine, if the na'ib fa'il, which was the maf'ulun bi, if it's feminine, when it becomes na'ib fa'il, the verb has to also reflect it by becoming feminine. Okay? Secondary point, if the maf'ulun bi is a pronoun instead of a clear noun, if the maf'ulun bi is a pronoun, so in the original sentence, it was, yani, in the nasb form, in the place where it should be mansub as maf'ulun bi, now when it became na'ib fa'il, it's going to be in the raf form, in the place where it should be marfu'un. So that's the summary of the core of this lesson. Let's look at the rest of the points, any of the secondary points, that came in this lesson. Point number two on the bottom of page 20 is dealing with the maf'ulun fihi. Maf'ulun fihi is of two types, right? Maf'ulun fihi is either, yani dharf al-zaman is what we're going to see here, or dharf al-makan. So like amama and khalfa and inda and ma'a are dharf al-makan. But the other type of maf'ulun fihi is dharf al-zaman. Dharf al-zaman, which means the adverb of time. It indicates the time in which an action took place. So dharf al-zaman, we actually saw some examples of that previously in book 2 and maybe even before that. What is important is dharf al-zaman or maf'ulun fihi is from those things that are mansub, as we saw in lesson 1 of this level 3 course. We saw that the things that are mansub are many. From amongst them is maf'ulun bihi, and from amongst them is maf'ulun fihi. So this second point is in reference to maf'ulun fihi, or more specifically, which type of maf'ulun fihi? Dharf az-zaman, the adverb of time, which indicates the time in which the action took place. So the dharf az-zaman or maf'ulun fihi is mansub. That's the original ruling. Some of the dhuruf are mabniyun. They could be mabniyun on dhamma, fatta, kasra. But generally speaking, the word that's maf'ulun fihi is mansub. Primary sign of a word when it's mansub is fatta. Alright, so that's what we're going to talk about in the second point. We've seen maf'ulun fihi before. We've seen many examples of it in book 2, and maybe even we might have seen an example of it in book 1. Or we saw maf'ulun fihi in book 1, but dharf al-makan maybe. We saw amama and khalfa and inda and so on. Okay, so point number 2, it says wulidtu ama. That's the word that we want to pay attention to, ama. Why is it fatta? Because it's maf'ulun fihi. It's indicating the time in which something took place. The birth took place. Wulidtu, I was born, ama, sab'atin wa sittina wa tis'imiyatin wa alfin lil miladi. Okay, don't get distracted by this long number. I was born in the year 1967. In English you say 1967, but actually it is 1967 is a short way of saying 1967. In Arabic it's more proper and better that you take the unit number first, and then the tens, and then the hundreds, and then the thousands. So that's how we're going to read this number, 1967, meaning in the year 7 and 60 and 900 and 1,000. So you say what? Ama sab'atin, 7, wa sittina and 60, that's 67, wa tis'imiyya, 900, wa alfin and 1,000. Yani 7 and 60 and 900 and 1,000. Means 1967 or 1967 CE. The footnote says CE stands for Christian era. We do not use AD as it stands for Anno Domini in Latin, which means they say Anno Domini, they mean in the year of our Lord, meaning the year in which Jesus, who they considered to be God, in the year that he was born. So when they say Anno Domini, they mean by that in the year in which our God was born. So this is kufr and shirk, right? So we don't say AD because what it means is kufr. So instead of saying AD, they have put here CE, Christian era. Okay, in any case, what is important here is that in this sentence, wulidtu ama sab'atin wa sittina wa tis'imiyya wa alfin lil miladi. I was born in the year 7 and 60 and 900 and 1,000 or 1967 CE, Christian era, lil miladi. Yani milad means yani birth or birthday. Lil miladi. Okay, so here the word ama, and this is the core. Yani the long date here is mushkila really, because it is a big distraction. But what is important here, I was born in the year of 1967, the year here is the word that indicates the adverb of time, the time in which the birth took place. I was born in the year. Here the word am, the year, is mansoob, because it is maf'oolun fihi. Yani, ظرف الزمان, adverb of time. That is a noun denoting the time of the action. A noun denoting the time of action, adverb, adverb of time. Or in Arabic, ظرف الزمان, or maf'oolun fi. It does not have the tanween, ama. The reason why it doesn't have tanween, even though it doesn't have alif lam, it doesn't have tanween, because it is mudaf. Because you're saying the year of seven. So it's mudaf, mudaf ilayh, and the mudaf we know from book one, lesson five, the mudaf, the first part of an idafa construction, never takes alif lam nor tanween. But what is important here is, as dharf, as zaman, or maf'ulun fihi, that it is mansoob, and the primary sign of a word being mansoob is fatha. Here are some more examples of what? Of maf'ulun fi, dharf, as zaman, a word that's indicating the time in which the action of the sentence took place. That word, yani maf'ulun fi, is going to be mansoob with fatha. Okay? Sa'adrusu al-lughata al-firansiyyata al-aama al-qadima insha'Allah. I will study the French language in the coming year, yani next year insha'Allah. Alright? Sa'adrusu, I will in the future study al-lughata al-faransiyyata, the French language, al-ama al-qadima, the next year, the coming year, insha'Allah. So in this sentence we see al-lughata is maf'ulun bihi, the object of the verb sa'adrusu. And al-faransiyya is the not describing al-lughata, so it also is mansoob with fatha. And then we have al-ama is mansoob, but not because it's maf'ulun bihi, but because it's maf'ulun fihi. Maf'ulun bihi is the object of the verb. Maf'ulun fihi is the adverb, which tells us the time in which the action of the verb took place. Okay, so what is important here? Al-aama is mansoob with fatha because it's maf'ulun fihi, or dharf al-zaman. The next example is on the page, top of page 21. Kuntu fi Makkata yawm al-jumu'ati. Kuntu fi Makkata yawm al-jumu'ati. I was in Mecca on the day of Jumu'ah, Friday. What is important here is, when was I in Mecca? Yani the action of being, when did it take place? Yawm, on the day of Jumu'ah. So yawm is maf'ulun fihi mansoob with fatha, and Jumu'ah is mudafun ilayhi majrur with kasra. The third example, Aina tadhhabuna hadha al-masa'a. Aina tadhhabuna hadha al-masa'a. Where are you all going this evening? So here, the verb, the action is going. When is it taking place? Hadha al-masa'a. This evening. This evening. That's when it's taking place. We don't see the sign of it being mansub in hadha, because hadha is mabniyun. It's ism ishara, is mabniyun. But we see it in the bedal for it, al-masa'a. Al-masa'a is the bedal for hadha, and therefore we see in it the sign of it being mansub with fatha. The details of this hadha al-masa'a type of expression, we're going to look at later on when we talk about the maf'ulun fihi in more detail. Okay, so these are examples of maf'ulun fihi. What is important for this second point is to understand that there are two types of dharf. Dharf al-makan and dharf al-zaman. The one that we want to look at here is dharf al-zaman. That indicates the adverb that indicates the time in which something took place. Both of them are known as maf'ulun fihi. Both of them are mansoob, unless it's, and some of them are mabniun, but for the general rule is that they are mansoob. And the sign of them being mansoob, primary sign, is fatha. So we'll see in the word that indicates the time in which the action took place, we'll see aama with fatha, and we'll see yani yawma with fatha, and we'll see hadha al-masa'a with fatha. That's point number two. Point number three is a simple matter. It is, it doesn't require any discussion. It says certain proper nouns have alif lam, like al hasanu, al husainu, al zubayru. When the particle ya, ya and nida is used with these proper nouns that have alif lam prefixed to them, if a proper noun, the name of a person or a place, a city or a country, has alif lam attached to it, but of course ya is going to be used with people, right? So if a person's name, a proper noun, has alif lam, if you call them with ya and nida, the alif lam is dropped. For example, you say, ya hasanu, not ya al-hasanu. Alright, al-hasan, it's a proper noun, it has alif lam attached to it. Likewise, al-husayn, al-zubayr, these type of proper nouns, if you call that person with ya nida, the alif lam is dropped. Point number four. Hindiyun, yani with shadda on the ya, hindiyun, means Indian. It's an inscription to India. This is formed from the word Al-Hindu. Al-Hind means the country, India. So this word Hindi is formed from the word Al-Hind by adding Ya with Shadda. Ya with Shadda at the end of it. So Hind plus Ya with Shadda, Hindi. This process of adding Ya with Shadda to the name of something, this process is called an-nasabu. An-nasabu. And the noun, after the addition of this ya with shadda, oh, I see questions here that I wasn't paying attention to. Let me just finish this point here and then I'll come back and look at these questions. Let me just finish what we're talking about here so I don't get confused myself. This process is called an-nasabu, and the noun after the addition of this ya is called mansub. Mansub with seen, not mansub like marfu and mansub and majrur with sad. This is mansub with seen. The process is called an-nasab, and the noun that has this ya with shadda added to it is called al-mansub. Note that certain nouns have irregular mansub forms, like the mansub form from akh is akhawiyun. The shadda, before it's added, the waw, that is an original part of that word from its root, is comes back before you add the ya. Okay, so akh becomes akhawiyun, means brotherly. Abawi, fatherly, is from abun. Yani ab, the waw that's originally part of its root has to come back before you add the ya with shadda for the mansub form. And likewise, Nabiyun, yani becomes Nabawi, because the waw, that's an original part of the root, comes back again, so you say Nabawiyun. So there are some words, that nouns that have irregular mansub forms, like akh, akhawi, brotherly, ab, abawi, fatherly, nabi, nabawi, means prophetic. Okay, so the point here is that the nasab, the ascription to something, from India it's Hindi, from America it's Amriki, from Britannia it's Britani, from Saudiya it's Saudi, and so on like this. Alright, this is called Nasab. The process is called Nasab. The noun itself is called Mansub, and it means an ascription to something. It's identified with India, with America, or whatever, whatever it might be identified with. Okay, let me go back now and just look at questions I saw here. Maf'ulun fihi dharf, makan dharf, equals dharf, makan, dharf, makan. Are we saying that the dharf, zaman, and makan are types of maf'ulun fihi? Yes, that's what we're saying. That's what we're saying. We're saying that maf'ulun fihi includes two types of adverbs. One of them is the adverb of time, dharf al-zaman, and the other one is the adverb of place, dharf al-makan. Dharf al-makan and dharf al-zaman, both of them are included under the general title of maf'ulun fihi. So the maf'ulun fihi includes two types of adverbs. One of them is related to place, ظرف المكان, and the other one is related to time, ظرف الزمان. Both of them are included in مفعول فيه. If, I know this print is so small, if, looks like ولد means I was born, what is the construction to say my mother gave birth to me? So this is the active voice. نعم. ولدت, يعني she gave birth. ولدت ولدتني أمي. نعم. I think that's what is written there. ولدتني أمي. نعم. ولدت means to give birth. And the, يعني it's in the feminine form she, right? Because the فاعل is أمي. ولدتني أمي. نعم. That's correct. Okay. Let's go back to the English key, point number 5. Okay, this is just a note. It's a long note, but it doesn't really require a lot of discussion. Point number 5, أُخَرُ. This word came in the lesson. أُخَرُ is the plural of أُخْرَى. And it is a diptote. أُخَرُ is a diptote. يعني it's ممنوع من الصرف. The plural of the masculine آخَرُ is آخَرُونَ. So what do we have? We have آخَرُ, which means another, and then its plural, آخَرُ is آخَرُونَ. The feminine of آخَر is أُخْرَى, another, and its plural is أُخَرُ. That's all we have. We have آخَر, and its plural, آخَرُونَ, others. And we have أُخْرَى, the feminine, and its plural, أُخَرُ. So آخَرُ is ممنوع من الصرف, and أُخْرَى is ممنوع من الصرف, and the plural أُخَرُ is also ممنوع من الصرف, diptote. Alright, so all they're telling us here is that أُخَرُ is the plural of أُخْرَى, which is the feminine of آخَرُ. And the plural of آخَرُ is آخَرُونَ. Alright, so the word another, its masculine form is آخَرُ. It's diptote, it doesn't take tanween. Its feminine form is أُخْرَى, and they're telling us here that the plural of the feminine form أُخْرَى is أُخَرُ, which is also a diptote, ممنوع من الصرف, doesn't take تنوين. Okay, and then they gave us examples for each one of these, فَآخَرُ, and its plural آخَرُونَ, the masculine. And then they gave us the feminine أُخْرَى, and its plural أُخَرُ, يعني singular and plural feminine forms. Okay, so the first example they gave us, بِلَعَوْ, and another student, masculine singular, were absent today. غاب اليوم بلال وطالب آخر. آخر is the singular masculine form of another. And also we see here غاب اليوم. اليوم is مفعول فيه or ظرف الزمان منصوب with فتح. غاب اليوم بلال وطالب آخر. Bilal and other students were absent today. Here's the masculine plural for another or others. غاب اليوم بلال وطلاب آخرون. طلاب آخر singular. I mean طالب, طالب آخر is the singular. طلاب آخرون is the plural. Now we go to the feminine, singular and plural. زينب and another female student were absent. غابت زينب وطالبة أخرى. That's the feminine singular. زينب and other female students were absent. غابت زينب وطالبات أخر. أخر being the plural of أخرى, other students. زينب and other female students were absent. In the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 184th ayat, we have فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرَ. يعني, but whoever of you is sick or is on a journey should fast the same number of other days, ayyamin ukhar. As ayyam is an irrational noun, غير عاقل plural, the singular ukhra can also be used with it. For example, instead of the plural ukhra, you can also, since ayyam is a غير عاقل plural that we learned in lesson 16 and 17 of book 1, غير عاقل plurals, we treat them as though they are feminine singular. So you can here use أُخَى, which is the plural, feminine plural, or you can use the feminine singular because it's permissible. Yani that's the general rule, the غير عاقل plurals are referred to as though they're feminine singular. So you could also say ayyamin ukhra with the feminine singular instead of ayyamin ukhra. So they gave us the example, the hotels are expensive these days, but they are cheap on other days. Al-fanadiqu ghaliyatun, the hotels are expensive. Hadhi al-ayyama, these days. Ayyama with fatha mansub, yani for the maf'ulun fihi, hadhi al-ayyama, walakinnaha, but they are, these hotels, rakhisatun fi ayyamin ukhra, yani ukhra being the singular form, ukhra being the plural form. Both of them can be used. Okay, that's point number five. It's just telling us what? That the word for another is akharu, masculine form. Its feminine form is ukhra. The plural of the feminine form is ukhar. And it's a diptote, mamnoom, and a sarf. Point number six, and I think we're getting close to the end of our time. Hopefully we'll at least be able to finish the English key. I don't know if we'll read the dialogue today. But in any case, point number six is a brief point, it's just a point of information. The verb salla, which we're going to look at this type of verb, yani fa'ala, second form of the verb. We're going to look at that later on in this level 3 course. Salla means he offered salat, yani he performed prayer. The mudari is yusalli. And the fi'l amr is salli, with the short vowel. Salli, shadda on the lam with kasra. The expression salla, past tense verb form, salla bina, means he led us in prayer. It doesn't mean he prayed with us, but it means he led us in prayer. If somebody says salla bina so and so, it means he led us in prayer. So in Arabic, this expression salla bina doesn't mean he prayed with us or prayed for us. It means he led us in prayer. That is, he was our imam. So salla, salla bina means he led us in prayer. Salli bina, the fi'l amr, salli bina, means you are asking somebody or commanding them to lead us in salat as the imam. Salla bina means he led us in prayer. Salli bina means please lead us in prayer, be our imam. Point number seven, imma wa imma means either or. Means either or. Imma, either, wa imma, or. Either this or that. For example, al-ismu, the noun, and in Arabic, the noun is imma mudhakkarun, either masculine, wa imma mu'annathun, or feminine. A noun, and in Arabic, is either masculine or feminine. Al-ism, imma mudhakkarun, it's either masculine, wa imma mu'annathun, or feminine. Second example, imma tazuruni, either you visit me, wa imma azuruka, or I will visit you. Either or, either you visit me, or I will visit you. Imma wa imma. Point number eight, for the i'rab of thalathu mi'atin through tis'u mi'atin, see the key to book 2, lesson 24. The key to book 2, lesson 24. This is going to be in lesson 24. If you want to go back and look at it, it's going to be book 2, lesson 24, point number 3G. Yani in the English key, lesson 24, point number 3G. Because 3 is divided into A, B, C, D, E, F, G. So it's going to be point 3G, the i'rab of the numbers on page 78. Yani when they're giving the i'rab of numbers on page 78, lesson 24, the English key for book 2, lesson 24, point number 3G, page 78. Basically, they're saying in the i'rab, in brief, yani thalathu mi'atin, they're saying that the first part of these, this compound number here, where the number 300, 400, 500, 600, 700, 800, these type of numbers, they are joined together as one word, the number and mi'a. So thalathu is going to be joined to mi'a. Thalathu could be marfu'un, could be mansub, could be majrur, depending on its position in the sentence. If it is the mubtada of the sentence, it's going to be marfu'un with dhamma. If it is the object of a preposition, it's going to be majrur with kasra. If it's the object of a verb, it's going to be mansub with fatha. So the first number, thalathu, or tis'u, or Sab'u, that part of the number can be marfu'un or mansub or majrur. The second part is always going to be, yani thalatha mi'a, arba'a mi'a, khamsa mi'a. The second part, mi'a, is always going to be mudafun ilayhi, majrur with kasra. So as far as the i'rab, the first part, it depends on its function in the sentence. If it's the mubtada, it's marfu'un. If it's the maf'ulun bi, it's mansub. If it's the object of a preposition, it's majrur. The second part is always going to be, yani mi'a is always going to be mudafun ilayhi, majrur. That's the summary of it. Point number 9, al-yahud. This expression, the Jews, al-yahud, al-nasara, the Christians. This type of expression is a generic plural noun. In Arabic, ismu al-jinsi al-jama'i. Ismu al-jinsi al-jama'i. Generic plural noun. Yani al-jins has been translated here as generic, and al-jama'i as plural. So it's a plural, but it's a plural of a jins, a whole, yani collective of, yani a type or a species, yani cows or trees or bananas, huh? Or in this case, the example they gave us, Jews. So this is a group, a type, a species. That whole type is included in that word. So it's a type of plural that represents the whole of a particular group or species or type. So it's called generic plural. Yani al-jins al-jama'i. Because it's a plural that refers to the whole kind. The generic plural noun is of two types or two kinds. A, those which make their singular with ya, with shadda, iyun. For example, Arabun means Arabs as a group of people, a type. So that's the generic word that includes a lot of people, all Arabs, right? So it's plural, but it's a generic plural because it includes the whole type. It doesn't mean two or three or four, that type of plural, but it means the whole of the group. So Arabun means Arabs as a whole, and if you add ya with shadda, Arabiyun means an Arab, a single individual Arab. Same thing, Turkun means Turks, the Turkish people as a whole. If you add ya with shadda, Turkiyun means an individual Turkish person. Inkiliziyun means Englishmen, yani the English nation, Englishmen. And Inkiliziyun with ya with shadda is an Englishman, an individual one. So the singular form is yani formulated by adding ya with shadda. Note that the ya, this ya is not the ya of nasab, which we have just learnt in lesson 4. This ya here is not nasab, yani meaning attributing it to English or Turks or Arabs. No, this ya here is meaning the singular form of a generic plural, means singular, an individual Englishman, an individual Turkishman, an English individual Arab. Okay, so ya nasab is different, means this is yani American, or it is British, or it is yani Saudi. This ya here means an individual one of that group of people. That's one type of generic plural. Yani its singular is formed by adding ya with shadda. B, the second type of generic plural is those which make their singular with ta marbuta. So the singular may be, for some words is formulated by ya with shadda. You have to learn which words are made singular by ya with shadda and from the generic plural. And other generic plurals, their singular is made by adding ta marbuta. For example, tufahun means apples in general as a group, yani as a type, as a species, apples. An individual apple the word is formulated by adding ta marbuta. So tufahun became tufahatun, an individual apple. Shajarun, trees as a whole, as a group, as a species, yani a jins. The singular of it is formulated by adding ta marbuta. Shajarun, shajaratun. Samakun, fish in general. Samakatun, an individual single fish. To understand the use of the singular and the plural, yani for the generic plural nouns, consider the following examples. If the doctor asks you what fruit you like, you say, أُحِبُّ الْمَوْزِ, yani I love mawz, bananas in general. I like bananas. And if he asks you how many bananas you eat after lunch, you might say, أَكُلُ مَوْزَةً, I eat one banana. So mawz means bananas, I love bananas. But if you want to say an individual one banana, the word is formulated by adding tarat mabuta in this particular case. So you say mawza. In the same way you say arabiyun, in the same way you say uhibbu al-araba, I'm reading from right to left, uhibbu al-araba, yani I love the Arabs, that's the generic plural, li'anna nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arabiyun, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an Arab. So, Arab is the people as a whole, jins, and Arabi with ya with shadda is an individual Arab. Note that the dual is formed from this singular form, not yani from the generic plural form. In other words, note that the dual is formed from the singular form. For example, Arabiyani, yani from the singular form Arabi, you form the dual Arabiyani. Two Arabs, not from the generic plural form Arab. You don't say Araban, but you say from Arabi, Arabiyan. And likewise, you don't say Mawzan, because that's the generic plural, but from its singular form Mawza, you say Mawzatan. And this is the end of the key. Well, alhamdulillah, yani, it was hoped that we would be able to cover this key as well as the dialogue, but the dialogue is quite long, so we're not going to attempt to read that. It's more than 3 pages long, 3 pages in the top of the 4th page. So what we're going to do here is I'm just going to remind us of some of the points, yani just for a second, I'm going to remind us of some of the points that we covered in this English key. Yeah, I'm going to remind us of some of the points that we covered in the English key. Just briefly, and then for homework, inshallah, I'll be sending out a homework assignment tomorrow. What we should do is review this English key thoroughly, carefully, especially the points that are detailed, like the first point, which is the core of the lesson. Second point as well, I would say also the 9th point. Yani those are probably the most important things in this lesson. 1st point, 2nd point, and 9th point. But yani look at the whole thing. Try to review it carefully. In the 1st point, we dealt with the passive voice. Yani al-fi'l al-mabni lil-majhul. What is intended by majhul is not unknown but unmentioned. It means that the fa'il is not mentioned here. It means that the fa'il in this type of sentence, yani where the verb is yani in the passive form, the fa'il is not mentioned. Okay, so what happens is you change the structure of the verb in the passive voice in the past tense to dhamma kasra, in the present tense dhamma fatha. You remove the fa'il and you put in its place as a substitute the maf'ulun bi. It's no longer mansub with fatha, now it became marfu'un with dhamma. We also said that yani if the naib fa'il, which was the maf'ulun bi, if it is feminine, when it becomes naib fa'il, the verb has to also be made feminine. And if the naib fa'il is a pronoun, so we, instead of the use of the nasb form, and when it was the maf'ulun bi, now we use the raf form as naib fa'il in the place where it should be marfu'un. The second point is dealing with maf'ulun fihi, and we said that the maf'ulun fihi is of two types. Yani it is the adverb of place, ظرف المكان, and adverb of time, ظرف الزمان. And it is, yani, mansub, the primary sign of being mansub is fatah. We said that proper nouns that have alif lam, if they became the munada, yani after ya nida, you lose the alif lam. We also said that the nasab, the process of nasab, ascribing something to a particular place, or type, or occupation, or whatever, is from the original word, like Hind, adding ya with Shadda Hindi means it's ascribed to India or it is Indian. And we said that certain yani nouns have irregular forms, yani like akh and ab and nabi, yani the waw is added to them. We said also that ukharu is the plural of ukhra, which is the feminine of akhar, means another. We said sallabina in Arabic, it means yani sallabina means he led us in prayer as our imam, and therefore salli, if you said to somebody sallibina, it means you are asking them to lead us in prayer as imam. Imma wa imma means either or, yani either this or that. The i'rab of the numbers, the hundreds, 300, 400, 500, 600, its i'rab is that the number itself, thalathu, is marfoon or mansoob or majroor, depending on its function in the sentence. And the second number, mi'a, is always going to be mudhaf ilayhi majroor. And the last point we said is what we just got finished discussing, the ism, al-jins, al-jam'i, the generic, plural nouns are nouns that represent the whole species or whole group of something, like apples, or oranges, or Arabs, or Jews, or Turks, or Englishmen, and they are of two types. Some of them, their singular is formed by adding ya with shadda, like Arab, became a single Arab, is Arabiyun. And some of them are formed by adding ta marbuta. So tufahun, apples, is singular form, is tufahatun, adding ta marbuta. This is the summary of what we covered in the English key. Next week, inshallah, we'll go over the dialogue, and we'll take the first few exercises. We'll see how many we can do in the coming session, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant success to me and to you to do the things that we do sincerely for His sake alone, and that we do them in accordance with the sunnah, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognize, record, and reward our good deeds, that He pardon and forgive our mistakes and errors, and that He keep us firm upon His straight path until we return to Him in a condition of being pleased with Him and pleasing with Him. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen.